beginning of the fourth book of the Psalter. And I was taught long ago that the writing before the psalm begins is part of the psalm. It's scripture, not the summary words that are supplied by the Bible publisher, but the ones that were actually in the text. And it begins this way: a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even, by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So, teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. As we look at this psalm, we will see quickly a U-shape. A U-shape. You begin here with verses 1 and 2 at a high point, and then through verses 3 through 11, you descend down into a U, and you dwell there at the bottom for a bit, measuring the struggles of life. Then in verses 12 through 17, there's a prayer of hope that ascends back to the other side of the U shape. The subscript says this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, so we don't doubt that that is what it is. It's not anything other than a prayer of Moses, and for that reason, it is perhaps the oldest of all the Psalms. It's an ancient hymn of biblical faith. The first part, as I will bring it forth tonight, will be beginning at verses 3 and 4. Our short life is full of trouble. Here are those words again. Verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Life is so very short. We are dust and will return to dust. And that is here compared to God's years. God's eternity. Thinking about time as I was reading this, it was a little more than 13 years ago that Jennifer and I came here with some of our children. Timothy was 13, and Stephen was 6. And yet it seems like yesterday, time flies. And then compare that to God's time. For God, 1,000 years are as yesterday. Or Moses says, as a watch in the night. What is a watch in the night? Well, it's the 4 hours that a soldier did his watch on the walls of a city while others slept. The watch through the night was 4 hours. The night was divided into 3 segments, roughly. So a watch is just a little while. Not too long. It's over soon. And just think of time again for a moment. Think of it. 500 years ago, Columbus lived and sailed from Europe to the New World. Just a half of 1,000 years, that is nothing to God. Verse 5, our life is short and it is full of trouble. Verse 5 says, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream. That's another picture of brevity, a dream. You know how it is when you dream. How long does it take to dream? Not very long. I guess it happens during your REM sleep, your rapid eye movement sleep. My Fitbit tells me that I don't have much of that. The dreams may seem like a long time when you're having them, but they're over pretty quick. And you forget them even faster. You try to recall, what was I dreaming about? It was so vivid at the time. I can't remember anymore. Like a dream. You sweep them away as with a flood. What he's saying here is that death comes quickly. Death comes quickly. That's what's swept away. That's what's the dream. Like a flood, a wave that sweeps a sandcastle away on the beach. Or in Middle Eastern terms, probably more like a wadi. You know what a wadi is? A dry stream bed, mostly just dry. Sometimes there might be some animals down there sipping just a little bit of water somewhere in a pool. And suddenly a flood can come. A thunderstorm passes over a nearby mountain and the water comes roaring down the mountain and fills the wadi and sweeps everything away. Man and beast, if they happen to be there. Another picture he draws of the brevity of life is like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. In the Mediterranean climate areas of the world, grass grows up quickly in the late winter and early spring. Overnight, hills become completely green, vivid green, with this grass growing so quickly. But soon it is dried up. I remember visiting in Northern California some of our children that were living there at the time. And I didn't see it myself because we weren't there that time of year, but I was told by them that in March and April, those hills in Northern California, Solano County and other places like that, are as green as they can possibly be. But then June comes and July, and they are suddenly golden brown. I guess that's why they call it the Golden State, because most of the time the hills are golden brown, not green. Why is life so short? Why is life like grass? Well, we'll see that in a moment, but first, let's ponder for a moment Moses' own experience. It isn't told here, but we can go back and see what Moses' experience was. He experienced in his lifetime, his span, he experienced a lot of death. He saw a lot of death. He was there when the death angel took all the firstborn of Egypt on the night of Passover. He was there when Pharaoh's armies were swept away and drowned in the Red Sea. And he, being a writer of songs, as like this one, wrote one in Exodus 15 about that. He said, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts he cast into the sea. His chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down to the depths like a stone. You blew your wind, verse 10. The seas covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Moses was also there when the earth opened in the wilderness and the Israelites were swallowed up, those who complained about the meals that God was providing for them every day. Moses was with the Israelites for that 40-year period, while a whole generation of adults, every last adult that had been alive when they failed to enter the promised land, every adult except Joshua and Caleb had to die. That whole generation had to pass away. Funeral after funeral after funeral, wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. One by one, they turned to dust. And he thinks of that, I think, here. But again, why is life so short? Why is it like this? He tells us in verse 8 and verse 7. Verse 7 says, we are brought to an end by your anger. By your anger. Now, we know that death is brought forth because of the failure of man in the covenant of works. We are brought forth by your anger, by your wrath. Your wrath against the covenant of works, we are destroyed, dismayed. Verse 8, he couples that, or he expands that. He magnifies that. He says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. This, therefore, is why we die. Adam's sin and God's righteousness, that's why we die. And he says it in summary in verse 9, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Life is indeed short. It wasn't always so. It was longer. It would have been eternal if they had not sinned, but it was longer in the past. Genesis 5 tells us about the generations of Adam. It says, these are the generations of Adam when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and named them man, and they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image, and he named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And then it says, when Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Hey, guys, how would you like to have to live 105 years before getting, you know, married and having kids? Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 108 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And then there's the famous Methuselah. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Then, in Genesis 6, verse 3, we see a contraction from those long spans. It says in verse 3 of Genesis 6, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. And by the time that Moses wrote this psalm, man's lifespan had contracted further. Because he says in verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? This is true. It's just out there. No one could deny it. An atheist couldn't even deny these realities. Yesterday, Jeff and I attended that memorial service for the 57-year-old David Haney. And this afternoon, Tom Martin, the moderator of our Presbytery of the Mid-Atlantic, forwarded news from Dana Flora. We prayed for Tim Flora for quite a while now. And this is the news she forwarded. Tim and I and our family wanted you all to know that Tim entered hospice care at home this past Wednesday. Even though it is very difficult to share this news, we want to keep you informed so that you would know how to pray. Life in the fallen world is full of toil and trouble. And it's good to get a firm grip on this truth. We see this, I think, most poignantly in the cry of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became human, who took on human flesh, who became dust for us. When he was crying from the cross, I think that cry from the cross echoes the words of verse 9, where Moses says, "All our days pass away under your wrath." Christ died under the wrath of God. "We bring our years to an end like a sigh." Christ sighed, breathed his last on the cross. So this is the honest view that Moses, a believer, a man of God, a friend of God, takes. And for you, it means you should live for what matters, for what will endure beyond your short life. You should make God your dwelling place. That's the dominant theme of the psalm. We don't want to spend the whole thing on these sad statements. The dominant theme of the psalm is to make God your dwelling place. It begins in verse 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." I'm glad he started with that before he went to the other stuff. And that's where Isaac Watts, the hymn writer, paraphraser, went 300 years ago in a hymn that we all know. It says, "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." Moses says in verse 2 about God being our dwelling place, he says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Our dwelling place is from everlasting to everlasting. Again, this is the dominant theme. What it means for you, believers, is that a Christian is someone who knows where home is. Home is not here. If you know the Lord, you're already home in a way. You're already dwelling with him. He's dwelling with you. So don't dwell on your troubles, but dwell on God's goodness. Count your many blessings, as one old song says. Don't dwell on the storms and the troubles of life, but dwell upon God, who is your home already, and who will be your home for years, ages to come. I don't remember exactly when it was, but some couple years ago, there was a severe thunderstorm that rolled through our neighborhood, and it was really wild for a little while. And as it passed off to the east toward Calvert County, I looked that direction, and the clouds were absolutely ominous, lightnings and thunderings and dark billowing clouds. It was amazingly beautiful to see that. And then a rainbow appeared, arching from the storm as the sun shone through from the west. It was beautiful. I took pictures. But I'm guessing that it didn't seem so beautiful to the people in Calvert County at that time. The people across the river who were under that wind-blown torrent and had no idea how long it would be before this storm would pass. Moses here in this psalm has this vision 3,000 years ago to show you and me that we must dwell in God, not in the troubles. Home is a place where you can bring your troubles and your weariness and find comfort and care. God is our home. God is our dwelling place. So Moses, with that in mind, takes us back up on the other side of this you. In verses 12 and following, he says, it's this prayer, so teach us to number our days. Teach us something out of this, Lord. Teach us to number our days. Not just to count them, but to think about our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. And he says, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, your covenant mercy love. That's what that word means, that great famous hesed word. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You see, days, with all of their troubles and their shortness, lived in the light of our dwelling place in God, we may rejoice and be glad in them, even with all their troubles, knowing that the storm won't last forever. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. And he says, let your work be shown to your servants. Sometimes it's hard to see the work of God. So Moses is saying, Lord, let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And then he says, asking a blessing, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. And then, in biblical fashion, when something is repeated, that's an exclamation, that's an underline. He says again, yes, establish the work of our hands. Help us to know that our lives matter as we dwell in you. Give us joy in our troubles. Moses is praying for the eyes of faith to see God's work. Moses. What had Moses seen in his lifespan? What had he really seen accomplished? Well, he saw the Israelites out of Egypt. He saw them through the Red Sea. But he saw them in an encampment for 40 years. And there were no monuments left in the wilderness. The wind swept over every encampment and covered any fragments of their having been there. Moses had not seen the Israelites into the promised land of Canaan. He himself didn't get there. Moses prayed for things he could not yet see. And the writer of Hebrews says something very much like Moses. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. If the Lord is your dwelling place, the Lord will use your life. The Lord will use your life. Your labor is not in vain. It's purposeful, meaningful, and God will establish it. Paul says about himself and those who were with him, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So Moses says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Establish the work of our hands. Moses' prayer is answered in Revelation 14, verse 13, where John says, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds
follow them.
When you have the Lord as your dwelling place, the deeds will follow you all the way to heaven. He will establish the work of your hands. Everything matters. Everything's meaningful. Troubles will be here, but God brings joy and life even in the troubles. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful ancient hymn. We pray that you'll bless us with the vision that Moses prayed for, to see the work of our hands established, to be blessed and have joy in our short life, and to know that you are establishing the work of our hands for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.